Welcome to our final special of March. We are bringing you Getting Lucky by Sarah Spade. See a penny, pick it up, all day long, you'll have good luck. Maddie, as if. When I find the weird golden coin during a trip into Boston, I pick it up and stick it in my pocket. I don't think anything of it. I'm too busy fuming over the dark-haired, green-eyed bartender I just met. Sure. His Irish accent is to die for. But though he was handsome, he was rude, and I refuse to give him another thought as I drive back to Salem. Until my front doorbell rings later that night, and suddenly, there he is. That coin I found? It's his. He came all the way to my house to get it back. Then he actually has the nerve to suggest that I stole it from him. Me? Seriously? As outraged as I am, I can't help but think he's some kind of creepy stalker. The truth, however, is much worse. He's, a leprechaun. Honest. The coin I found, it's his amulet. By finding it and offering to give it back, I supposedly triggered some weird rule that says he owes me three wishes. And with a stubborn set to his hard jaw, determination in his gaze, he refuses to leave until he's granted all three of them. Now, if only I could wish that he would disappear, or that I really mean it when I tell him I want him to go. Killian, leprechauns are supposed to have all the luck, but I'm not a full-blooded leprechaun. I'm only half. And the half that I am is one hell of an unlucky schmuck. Nothing goes my way. Ever. I've gotten used to it. I've given up hoping that it'll ever change, or that some of my dad's magic will rub off on me. In fact, I've tried to turn my back on my heritage. I got a job working at an Irish pub in Boston. Okay, so maybe I do like to torture myself a little bit, especially since it's my dad's pub, and gave up on the tiny amount of magic I had until St. Patrick's Day, until I lost my amulet. I might not be a full-blooded leprechaun, but there are some laws I do have to obey. I have my own pot of gold hidden in my apartment. I wear a red coat, go socks, and if I'm captured or my amulet is stolen, I owe the wily human who messed with me three wishes. Enter Madison Scott. Blonde hair, baby blues, and a stick so far up her butt, it'll be my pleasure to yank it out. I might have to grant her wishes, but there's no rule saying how I have to do that. Only one problem. Remember the whole unlucky schmuck thing? Right. From the first wish, something goes wrong. The magic won't let me leave until all the wishes are done, and Madison doesn't want me to stay. Too bad for her, though. She's stuck with me. And after a couple of days with her, there's nowhere else I want to be. Getting Lucky is the fifth novella in the Holiday Hunks series. You do not have to read the other ones to understand what's going on. An enemies to lovers steamy novella with a sexy Irishman, an uptight caterer, two cats who think they run the show, plus a whole lot of mischief and magic.
How's your sunburn?
It hurts.
It's not better.
It's slightly better.
Oh, that's a bummer. I was hoping it would be like the magical fix of the next day, like you were hoping.
Normally it does, but no.
Yeah, bummer.
I am in misery, actually. And I had to plug my Kindle into my computer so I could read.
Oh, because it was dying.
Yeah, it was at like 12%. Yeah,
I need to
so.
charge mine probably tonight. Oh my goodness, life.
Happy March.
So I think it's funny
The last,
that
this is the
when we
last
were,
special of March.
yes, when we were looking for specials for March, the book that, or one of the books that I brought that we ultimately used last time, I did not expect it to be so unhinged as it was. And then going into this one, I went into it thinking or expecting it to be super unhinged
Because I
because,
usually bring the unhinged stuff.
right, I come to expect super unhinged from you.
This was not.
It was not.
It was cute.
Yeah. It
So.
was short and it certainly wasn't what I was expecting. But I thought that was so funny. It was like, wait a second, we kind of switched specials and we swapped like specials for the unhinged moment.
I know. Doesn't happen that often.
No.
And going forward, who knows? It might not happen again.
Chris was like, never again, biatch. You will not take my
Actually,
unhingedness.
I don't know, because the
Yeah,
specials we have lined up
what I
for
brought to
next,
April is pretty.
what she brought to April, I don't even think I can top. So, though I take that as a personal challenge that maybe I should try to top it, but I can't for April. So this week on our final March special, and excuse me if I sound exhausted and dead to the world, it's because I got super sunburned and I want to die. So we're reading Getting Lucky by Sarah Spade. And it's funny because when I was looking up Sarah Spade, just because I was pulling the book up, she writes a lot of books that are just, I believe, mostly paranormal. Shifter? Something? I think when I was looking her up.
I mean, I would classify this on the
Yeah.
paranormal scale. So,
It was just interesting when I was like looking at
yeah.
the books themselves. She mostly like focuses on fated mates, Greek god, romance, and romantic suspense. But like she has this whole series about, she's got like a claws and fangs series. She's got demons series book. Like, so she does like a lot of that. So it was interesting seeing people, like just both people on the cover of a book instead of one person, one non-person. Anyways, so typically for specials, we always like to kind of pick books that aren't super well known. Usually, we kind of pick a lot of hidden gems or super obscure books that not a lot of people have read, and we read them and then we bring them to you so that you can also enjoy them. And you know what? This book was enjoyable. I highly enjoyed it.
This month, we were looking for some Leprechaun St. Patrick's Day style books, and I think we succeeded.
I think so too. April's gonna be a mess. Just straight up.
Nah,
Okay.
we're hunting wabbits.
I hate you a little bit for that. Oh my God. So today, again, Getting Lucky by Sarah Spade. So this book, first off, is a dual POV. I'm happy about that. And it's labeled when they're speaking, totally down for that. And it starts out with our FMC, Maddie. She's making some muffins. And something is clearly going on with her friend Sheila and Sheila's boyfriend Cole. And Sheila is also not only her like best friend, but also a business partner.
So it is clear from the beginning of this book that Sheila and Cole must have been the main characters of the previous book in the series. But I
It would make
understand this is
sense.
a novella. However, the way we've complained about this 7,000 times, the way that they are written in, we are supposed to know their story and we are supposed to know who they are right off the bat.
See, I didn't feel that way.
I did. They dropped all kinds of little hints and stuff, and like, oh, just grumbly about, oh, just she can have somebody just come into the company and all this stuff. Like, there was clearly a story.
No, I didn't feel that way, but I also, it's a novella. I
And
didn't
like I
really
said, I
care.
get it. It's a novella, but if you're going to call it a standalone, have it be a standalone.
Sheila is also Maddie's business partner, and it turns out that Sheila apparently forgot to pick up a supply order. So they are catering for a party, and they promised that they were going to make Guinness bread and beef stew because, in case you didn't know, this book is taking place around St. Patrick's Day. Congratulations. And they need a specific Guinness to make this bread. Sheila is very particular about the Guinness she uses. When I was reading it originally, I was a little annoyed because she said, "I need Finnegan's Guinness." And in my brain, didn't realize until I read a little further along, I was like, "There's only one brand of Guinness. Guinness is Guinness." No, it's because it's a specific pub's Guinness, like their Guinness that they do. But in my brain, I was like, Guinness is Guinness. There's no other brands, but it's just because of the specific pub. I had made the comment before I continued reading. And apparently, Sheila had ordered it ahead of time, but she forgot to pick it up. Cole calls Finnegan's because, he's going to take care of this. So he calls Finnegan's and they learn that they are super, super slammed and they're not sure how much longer they're going to be able to hold on to it. So they kind of need to go get it now. Because again, St. Patrick's Day, that is when a lot of people drink Guinness. And if you're holding on to all of this shit so that you can make bread with it, you can't just leave it there. So Maddie, though, offers to go pick it up. Why? Because she doesn't want to waste any time. She may hate she may hate going into Boston, but she's also a control freak. And she knows that if she sends Sheila and Cole, they'll lose time doing a bunch of shit. So it's just makes way more sense to send herself than to send those two.
Well, she says that they have so much stuff to do for their own business that it's stupid to send two people, because if she were to send Sheila, Cole would tag along. And that would now take two people away from the long to-do list at her place. So it's stupid. So it would make more sense for just her as one person to go versus having two sets of hands leave their long to-do list from their work.
As she's driving in, this drive is taking forever. Then it hits her.
St. Patrick's Day in Boston.
Yeah. So super fucking nightmare, because as most people should know, St. Patrick's Day in Boston, huge fucking deal. And they usually do a giant parade. But thank God that this pub that she needs to go to is not in the heart of South Boston, because that would make it even fucking worse. She finally arrives at this bar. Thank fucking God. But she has to double park outside because there's literally nowhere else to park. And she super needs to get this beer, so whatever, let's just double park. So she walks into the bar and she is greeted by this gorgeous man behind the bar. And he is tall, he has dark hair, super green eyes, chiseled as fuck, and he has a super Irish accent. Turns out that Finn, who is who they were trying to get, who's the owner of Finnegan's, isn't there at the bar, which is who she needed to meet to go pick up the beer from his Finn.
He already left for the airport.
He's in Ireland. So
he warned them that he was going to be leaving soon, but apparently he had already left.
Yeah. So she's kind of stunned, and she is also a little mad because the dude behind the bar is super fucking rude to her. And she
says,
super,
why is it that the good looking guys are either taken or gay or complete assholes? And I mean, she's got a point.
She's also rightfully mad at him because, yeah. And then she gets a little sassy with him and says, you know, yeah, because I am sure the owner of this establishment tells you everything. And he just grins and says, you'd be surprised at what the boss tells me. So you want to fill me in while you're really here besides staring at me? Which she was, but like, dude, you don't need to call her out like that. Come on. So
she's a little arrogant.
He's very arrogant. She's a little taken aback by him catching her doing that, but I guarantee you this woman was not fucking subtle about that at all. And, you know, he's also super sassy and rude, and he says, looking is free. If you want to do more than that, then start by ordering a couple of drinks. Also kind of fair, like, if you're going to be at this bar. But he also has not taken any. Like, he hasn't really asked her why she's there. So,
or tried to help her in any way.
No, not at all. Not the right thing to say, though. So she says, you know, make sure to let Finn know that we're grateful for our partnership in the past, but we'll no longer be ordering your beer for our catering business. And you know what? Fucking good on her. Because if you're going to be rude to somebody, you're going to lose the business. So then another guy overheard this happening, and he just like pops his little head out. And his name is Jeremy, by the way. And he just asks if she was Sheila and had a dude call earlier about getting a lot of Guinness. And all I have is that the big douche canoe hot bartender gives her more sass about her being double parked, but clearly not in enough hurry to stop flirting with him.
So I thought the fact that he was calling her Sheila and she was just running with it was going to go further in this, but it didn't.
I mean, I don't really.
But again, novella.
Yeah. So she's mad because obviously she just met this man and he's being kind of rude. And
but Jeremy's got her taken care of.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
Jeremy tells her to just bring her car around to the back, load up the car. And as she's walking out to her car, she spots a coin on the ground. So she just picks it up, which I probably also would do, to be honest. It was like pretty and shiny.
It was
So,
really shiny. It had an interesting, different design on it. And she just was like, oh, what's that? And picked it up. I mean, wasn't anything.
the bartender's name is Killian. He happens to love St. Patrick's Day, and he is in a fucking great mood. He loves messing with people, and we learn right from the very beginning that his dad is a full-blooded leprechaun. So that's cool. And that Killian is only half a leprechaun because his mother is a human. So he typically runs the bar when his dad is not around, and his dad goes to Ireland, obviously, for St. Patrick's Day. And apparently, we just learned that every leprechaun gets super itchy when they see someone else's rainbow, and they all have their own pot of gold, and his is kept in his apartment. And he has a huge urge to wear a red coat. Do I know this? Absolutely not.
I
No
don't
idea.
understand what about. And I
Neither
even like wrote a thing like not green.
I.
Like, is that a thing? Like, is there some kind of weird leprechaun lore about red coats versus green?
I don't
Did
know.
along the way it turn into like I was going to research it and then I forgot.
That's okay. I didn't research it. I mean, it works out for him because he lives in Boston, home of the Red Sox, so he can get like red literally anywhere. And as far as his accent goes, if he's tired, stressed, or really horny, he sounds like the leprechaun he's supposed to be. So his Irish accent gets like so much more out there with those three things. He also has, oh, go ahead.
Apparently, leprechauns were originally depicted wearing red, not green.
There you go. There's your history lesson, folks. He also has like the worst luck ever, which is not, leprechauns are usually lucky. So here we are. He's sitting there thinking about the fact that he could be in Ireland, which would have been super terrible for him because he does not want to be there. And thinking about Maddie, he all of a sudden realizes that his amulet is gone. Oh, that's not good. He is not even supposed to be able to lose it. Like, that's the whole thing with it. He literally changes pants, it appears in new pants. Like, this thing never leaves
In his
him.
pocket.
Whatever.
I loved it. It appears in new pants.
New pants. If it's in a pocket of a sweater, it is never supposed to
It's
leave him.
always,
Like,
yes.
no matter what. And, Jeremy pops out and makes sure that he's okay. Obviously, he's not. This
He's
man is
panicking.
also super horny because apparently it's been a while since he's banged anybody. And usually he just uses his accent to pick up women, but he did a lot more of that in his 20s. But now that he's in his 30s, he's starting to get a little bit more picky about the women he brings back to his bed. And obviously, being around St. Patrick's Day, fucking,
So
he can
he's getting
lay that woman.
closer to 30. I want to note that specifically because it matters towards the end for me.
Okay, I'm glad anything in this book mattered to you. One of us just likes to have a good
Because
time.
he
The other
said
one
now that
has
he
to.
was approaching 30.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, so,
Well, I'll say it
anyways.
now, whatever. Because the girl, Maddie, because Maddie is older than him. I just thought it was kind of funny because Maddie is over 30 and he is not yet 30. I just thought it was funny that she was a little older than him because we don't get that a lot.
That's true. We don't.
I
It's
just made
usually
note of
the
it.
other way around.
Or
So,
if it is, it's a big difference, but yeah.
yeah. So, but now that he can't find his amulet, he's even more pent up. So he's horny and frustrated because he can't find his fucking thing. And he ends up snapping at Jeremy. But then he does feel really bad and he ends up apologizing. And Jeremy's like, you know what? You can take off. I got this. Don't worry. It's not busy right now. It'll just be end up being busier later on. And Killian really makes sure to tell him that he does not tell his dad that he is like peacing the fuck out. So he heads out. Maddie, in the meantime, is headed back to the business, beer in tow. And, as she's playing with this coin in her hand, in her pocket, she just wishes that she had someone who loved her the way that Cole loves Sheila, a human person. A man.
A man, because she's very specific that she has women that loves her, but she wants a man to
Yeah.
love her like that. She just wants a man to love her.
Yeah. She's also closing her eyes while she's doing this, sitting at a traffic light.
Beep.
Please don't do that. But yes,
Light screen, go.
she's brought back to the present by someone blowing their horn at her, and she goes. So then she drops the beer off at the S&M headquarters, which is, I'm assuming, Sheila and Maddie headquarters, and she heads home. She is fucking incest. I mean, it's not the other S&M, so we're not thinking it's that one.
I don't know why I didn't get that throughout the entire book. It wasn't until I heard you say that out loud.
Oh, really? That's funny.
I literally just, Sheila and Maddie. You're like, in my head, like, every time.
Yeah, she just calls.
But yeah. To me, I.
Yeah, it's fine. So she gets home. She's fucking exhausted. She feeds her kitties. She's got two little kitties. And just as she's about to settle in, her fucking doorbell rings. Surprise!
No!
Take back my surprise.
Sorry. She has this little ramble in her head as she's going to the door. And she's like, even though I live alone in a nice neighborhood, I'm still cautious. And instead of opening the door, I peek out through my window first, then head for the door when it seems like a harmless, dark-haired man is standing patiently on my porch. I didn't really get a good look at his face since he had his head turned as he glanced behind him toward the street, but he doesn't look like an axe murderer or anything. I'm sorry, you're so fucking cautious that you need to check first, and there's this strange man on your porch that you didn't, but you're like, he must be safe. Let me
he
open
looks
the door.
Hot from behind. I don't know what to tell you.
Like,
this is a novella. It doesn't
like
make sense.
The biggest oxymoron
Sweetheart,
of a paragraph.
This book has magic in it. I don't think it really matters. Okay. So
like,
surprise,
why
as Ariel
that?
Was explaining, surprise, it's Killian. Killian is on the other side of the door, and he tells her that she stole his amulet. And she's like, excuse the fuck out of me. And he tells her exactly what it looks like, especially after she's insisting that she didn't take,
I didn't take anything.
And oopsie, it's definitely the thing that's in her pocket. Which,
but to be fair, she didn't
really
steal anything from
him.
Yeah,
really and truly, she didn't steal it. She found it on the ground and picked
outside,
it
but
up.
Next to her vehicle.
Yeah, which,
like,
she tells him that she found it. And then she asks the very important question of how the fuck did he find her? Because any sensible person would ask the exact same question. And originally she thought it was like her business card, but then she has to remember that address is not on this business card. And he just says he followed,
which makes
the
me
magic.
Think they must have had their business at her house poor
at
written.
one
We're
point
supposed
in
to
time.
know
Yeah,
that
because
based on,
they're new business cards that she has.
Right. So we're supposed to know that based on the, it was probably in
I
the
mean,
last
context
book.
Wise, I kind of understood it. But
Yeah.
Anyways, he says that you're looking way too, first of all, you're looking way too deep into this. He just says,
it's our job.
Not on a special. It doesn't matter. He says he followed. Really, Ariel? Do you want me to look super deep into the first April special?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Cool. It'll take me an hour.
I plan on it.
So anyways, he just says that he followed the magic, which all I could think about was follow your nose. It's Fruit Loops, right? Follow your nose wherever it goes. Funny story, I actually had Lucky Charms this morning for breakfast. So
magically delicious.
But he needs to get inside her house. So he tricks her a little bit. She's so dumb. She just goes, what's that? And she's like, what? And he fucking comes into the house.
What? Where?
Then he gets in.
And she's getting mad at him for pushing her way into the house. And she swears at him. She naturally spices her sentence with naturally flavoring words. And he doesn't like that very much. He's like, why are you talking like that? Like, for her, a lady kind of thing? Like, what are you doing kind of thing? And she's, just because I'm blonde and a chick doesn't mean I can't use a perfectly valid word to show you how fucking crazy you're making me. Now go. And
so funny.
I just, like, true. Like,
yeah.
Don't you tell me how I can season my sentences. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And he does admit that he's a leprechaun straight up to her. And she fucking doesn't believe him. Understandably. But he had wanted to come inside because he wanted to be able to prove it to her without her neighbor seeing this. And he tells her that stealing his amulet has consequences. So he decides to prove it to her. So these next little bits made me fucking cackle out loud. So in order to prove it to her, he decides he's going to shrink himself down to 6 inches tall. What he does not account for is the cat. He can't really defend himself because he is 6 inches tall. And the cat wants to eat him because he is small.
Looks like a little plaything.
I know. So he just decides to, because he wanted to stay 6 inches tall as long as he could so that she couldn't play it off as just being like mind tricks.
He actually told us that he's actually not very good at being a leprechaun, and he's actually not very
No, but
good at
he
using
did also
magic.
say he didn't want her to think that it was just mind tricks that he shrunk
Right,
down.
but
That's
the
why.
reason why it took him a minute, like, it
Oh, I
was
don't care about
because he
that
was
part. I'm
trying to.
saying like he also did want to stay down because of there's multiple reasons that he did it. So he decides to grow back to his full height so he doesn't get eaten by a cat. I mean, I wouldn't want to get eaten by a cat
100%. So he didn't get eaten by a cat. That was the only reason.
She is shocked, which obviously she does admit that if she had seen him do that at the door and not inside her apartment, she would have punted him, which is fucking
Would have made the
hilarious.
story much funnier,
It was so funny.
personally.
It was so funny. She is spiraling in her head, going from trying to rationalize everything to holy fuck, leprechauns are real, and like back and forth with it. It was so funny.
Sure, you're a fine leprechaun, man, person, whatever.
Yeah, and
I.
he makes a quip that like she should have just warned him about the cat. And she's like, well, you could have warned me about being a leprechaun. And he goes, half leprechaun. And that he did try to warn her ahead
He
of time,
did, to be
but
fair.
she wasn't fucking having it. Fair
I mean,
point. So she
he's.
decides that she's going to hand him the coin back because she really didn't steal it. But apparently, she can't give it back because she has 3 wishes. Every time she goes to hand it back, it appears back to her again in her pocket. So he can't take it back. So her first wish is for a banana, which is like, excuse me, a banana? Like, what the fuck? Her first wish is a banana, but it doesn't appear. And then he asks her if she made a wish before because his magic can only handle 1 wish at a time. She swears that she didn't, but he can't leave until all of the wishes are done. So he's staying. And he plops his ass down and he gets comfortable. And she says that she wishes he would go away. And he responds with, well, I wish you hadn't walked off with my amulet. Now tell me which room is the one you'll be letting me have. And, you know, she's not happy about that situation and at all about the situation of him staying there. And again, she keeps trying to give him back the fucking amulet. Things keeps appearing in her pocket. And he explains that it's not just gold. It is a sign of a promise, and that the wishes are a reward for bringing it back to him, even though she's not bringing it back to him. He tracked her down. But it is also super bad if he doesn't have it because he can't be him without it. Killian decides that he's going to
It's
call his
like
dad.
the soul of their leprechaunness.
Yeah. So Killian decides he's going to call his dad, but his dad doesn't answer. He
Well,
decides
he
to leave a
decides he's going to call
voicemail.
his dad, and when he uses his leprechaun magic, it automatically like zaps the electronics on him, so his phone is completely dead. So he asks her if he can borrow her phone, and she's
She's like,
like,
is it local?
"Is it a local
Sure.
call?" And he's just, "Ah." Like, because weird question, like for a cell phone and whatnot. But he's like, yeah. And then she leads him to the kitchen to her landline connected to her wall that is a corded phone. He's like, at least it's not a rotary phone. Because by the time I dial all the numbers to Ireland, this situation might be fixed.
So to prove to her further that he can't leave her, basically, he goes outside and he starts walking past his car and he's trying to get further from her and his amulet. And the further away from her and the amulet he gets, cramping. And as he keeps going further and further, it just gets worse and worse. And it's so bad. Like this poor man is about to vomit with how much pain he's in. And then as she gets closer to him, the pain just like eases up. So it's very funny. I do like the fact that he's like in intense pain and almost vomiting.
And she runs towards him, and yeah, everything eases up, and he's instantly better with her by his
So good.
side.
So, yeah. So Maddie doesn't sleep well that night at all. And she finally wakes up. She looks in the mirror and her hair is vibrant fucking neon green. I would be
Oops.
pissed. I'd be so mad.
She's so mad at him. She's
Yeah.
like, "Why did you do this to me?" And he's like, "It wasn't me.
Yeah, it was great.
Must be because you've had my amulet for too long or
Who
something."
the fuck knows?
He didn't he no, there's no explanation to
There
it, by the
really
way.
isn't. That's the only, I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I was just here for it. So 6 days later, Killian is still at Maddie's house.
He's gotten into her puzzles.
Yeah.
She's not that happy about it. She loves
No.
puzzles.
And he is feeling the chemistry between the two of them, and he wants her bad.
She told Sheila that she's had the flu all week and that she hasn't been able to go into work. And she's starting to feel better. So she's sending her little things that she can cook at home, but he cannot cook anything at all. So he can't even help her. But he is drawn to her and he doesn't want to be not around her, A, because of the whole amulet pull stuff, and B, because, he's liking her. So as she's cooking, he's just like hanging out in the kitchen with her and like irritating her. And then he's taking her puzzles over and irritating her that way. And he's just pushing his way slowly into her life over the course of these 7 days.
Yeah.
But she's kind of letting him too. Like they've started to do puzzles together a little bit.
And her hair has softened now to an olive green instead of like the bright neon. But, that's good. But Killian has had the best luck ever since being around Maddie because obviously, like prior to this, his luck has always been really shit, especially being a leprechaun. Only
Yeah,
bad
he has the
thing.
worst luck ever for a leprechaun.
Yeah.
He has no idea why. He's like, so weird. It must be because I'm half leprechaun, because my dad has great luck.
But the only bad thing that has happened to him is that he's stuck so close to Maddie. Stuck so close to Maddie, and she wants him gone.
Is
And
that
he starts
really
to,
bad luck?
I mean, I don't think so. He's starting to feel like she could be it for him, and he is literally desperate for her. The other girls that he has been with were just and flings. And as he's quote unquote helping her with some cooking, she asks him to hand her a bowl, and he purposely hands her the wrong one. He knows the difference between salt and sugar, and he purposely hands her the wrong one. And when she and he she grabs it and she goes, "This is the wrong one." So when she turns around, he makes his move, and he like grabs her and spins her around and then kisses her. And like she doesn't fight it, and then she also starts kissing him back, and this just sets shit loose.
So, this is the only time that I got like super irritated with the writing of this book because most of this section was done in like present, like tense, and like I pull her back. I wonder like this. You know what I mean? I spin her around. I angle my lips and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, there's this weird paragraph in there of all past tense, like I kissed her. She did this and that. And then it's just kind of odd the way, and then it switches right back. Her chest is heaving. I stare. It's.
So my only thing would be maybe he was thinking back on I kissed her and like the, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a random paragraph in there, like almost like it's odd. And I had to like read it like three times, that little section, because I was like, well, this is weird.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry, continue.
So yeah, he lifts her up and has her wrap her legs around his waist and they make out for a little bit. Then they decide they're totally gonna do this thing. It's a bad idea. But like, fuck it.
It's a bad idea, right?
Oh
It's a bad idea, right?
my God. So he is like, oh, hold on a second, pause. And then he, not us actually pause, but he pauses the moment, runs to his bag and grabs a condom because
But
he's.
then he's like, I'm used to getting laid the same night I meet an attractive woman, coming too quickly, finishing my time with her before it's really begun. It's a serious concern.
Man is dead.
He's so worried. He has to go cool off, go get a condom so he can like he's so worried he's just gonna
Yep.
be done. One
So he, yep. So he grabs the condom, comes back, and then he eats her out, and then he fucks her. And they fuck three times that night. Maddie regrets none of it. What?
I'm sorry, because it's an old sentence. That's
Yeah.
nice.
I mean, you know.
It was just so.
She
I'm
is a
trying to
little
remember what it makes
worried.
me think of.
Huh?
What is it? The I don't know. It's something. And oh, he ran into my knife 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what.
Yep. She is a little worried about falling for him, though, between the cuddling and the banging. You know, she's a little concerned. So she's sleeping and she can hear her kitties, but she's like trying to get up, but she, Killian's already awake and she doesn't want him to know she's a, it's a weird thing. But the cats are meowing for food and Killian gets up and lets them in the room. And then he starts
Aww.
snuggling one of the cats and like the cat really
And he can tell which one is which when almost no one other than her can do that.
Yeah.
It's a big
And
deal for her.
so he's snuggling Daisy and Maddie, and he just like the cat likes him a lot. And the cats don't like anybody except for Maddie. And he just lets Maddie lay in bed, quote unquote, sleeping. And he goes and feeds the cat. And he's talking to them as he's feeding these cats. And then Maddie realizes, oh, I am in
He's
trouble.
talking to them the whole time, like he's some kind of cat whisperer, like just talking out loud, like, oh, don't tell mommy about this. Maybe we can trick her into feeding you twice. And like,
Yep.
come on, now you won't eat me next time, will you? And like, come on, let's go get your treats. And like,
It's
it's
so funny. It's so cute. But yeah, she's in trouble because this hot man is sweet to these cats. And then he looks so amazing holding Daisy in his arms. So Maddie decides to go shower. And after Maddie showers, she suggests that they work on a new puzzle. And then a knock at her door happens. It's Sheila because, you know, Maddie hasn't been at work, you know, in a while.
and
And
how far can she really stretch this I am sick in bed thing to
yeah.
Sheila?
And I mean, I would also be banging down that door. So she opens the door and Sheila is like, oh my God, your hair, which also fair fucking point. And then Killian just appears behind her. She's like, who the hell is that?
And oh, I
Yeah.
get it
Maddie's
now.
like, oh, he's a friend who's been taking care of me while I've had the flu. Oh, also, Cole is there too. Like, I forgot Cole was there for a second. So it turns out that Cole is a cute, well, a former Cupid. Killian used to do poker games with a Cupid, and surprise, that's who it
They
is.
know each other.
From
Weird.
that, yeah. But he's former Cupid. His eyes are no longer pink, they have gone brown. Killian is pretty sure that Sheila knows magic exists as she is
She
dating a former
must.
Cupid, but he doesn't want to correct Maddie because Maddie's like going on and on. Oh my God, it'd be so crazy if she found out you were a leprechaun and this. But Killian doesn't want to like kill her vibe and like just let her be so cute and innocent.
And Sheila's kind of like, wait, you know this guy? Because obviously Sheila knows what Cole was. And she's, oh, okay. In that case, it's fine. Carry on. You two do your thing. All good. You take as much time as you need. And Cole is like, I don't have my reader on, but I'm still a pro. It's a good match. And then he turns to Sheila, I told you it would work out. And then she says, you heard the man, he's the expert. And Maddie's over here so confused. She's like, expert at what? You'll see. And she takes off.
Basically, he got Cupid's blessing.
And told that they are compatible and that they are like a perfect match.
Yeah.
And so Killian is super stoked and rushes them right inside.
Tells him, all right, bye, so that they can bang. So Sheila does call her every day, kind of just to update her on the business stuff. It has been 2 weeks since she met Killian, and last night in the story, she felt as if things have kind of shifted a little bit for them. They came as close as they they came as close as they could to making love. It was tender, and just lovely. And, over the last few weeks, she has learned that she really does like Killian a lot. She also knows that he can't stay here with her forever. So she's just trying to keep up a wall between the two of them so she can protect her own heart. So they're, doing a puzzle, and Killian just has this look on his face as he's staring at her. And he goes, I realized something. And then out of nowhere, a banana appears. And then poof, Killian disappears. And then the amulet is gone. And Killian is suddenly back in Boston.
She realizes, shit, my wish, the banana. Like, that was my wish. And oh no, I wished that he would disappear. He would go away. That was my other wish. So she frantically searches her pockets to make another wish, and she can't find the amulet anywhere.
So,
But she keeps wishing anyways.
yeah. So when Killian's back in Boston, he can touch the coin and he can hear what Maddie's wishes were. And he is stunned because of her first wish, which was she had wished that someone would love her the way that Cole loves Sheila. And when he admitted it to himself that he was in love with Maddie, the other wishes came true, which was the one about the banana and the one about him being gone. And then his dad shows up and asks Killian what's wrong, because clearly he's in a mood. And he explained what happened, that he was thought he was falling for a girl, and a Cupid even said that he was, and that his feet, and then he was like, spiraling, because he's like, oh, the feelings aren't even real because the amulet is making this wish happen, like, because he has to fulfill the wish, and that he had to grant it, so the magic had to have made him love her. And his dad makes him sit his ass down and is like, did I ever explain to you how I met your mother? Not like the show, though. So his mom had been the one to find his dad's amulet, and that the amulet is the token of their heart, and that it wasn't ever really his, and it was just waiting for the woman that it belonged to. So while, yes, it's the magic's fault, but the reason that he is half leprechaun is because he hadn't met his soulmate yet.
His other half.
Yeah. And then it sinks in, because that means that Maddie is his. And the reason his dad never told him about this whole thing about, like, that's why he's half a leper is just because he needed to learn it himself. And that even his bad luck was because of not having found this person yet. But his luck had turned around once he met her. Case in point. Then boom, Killian shows up at Maddie's apartment. She
Magic.
lets him in to get his stuff, because obviously, he left all his stuff there. He comes back. She comes, like, she leaves him to go do his stuff so he can get all his stuff. She comes back and he's got Daisy's cat carrier in his hand. And he just says that he's bringing her and the girls home with him
He's like, do you
because,
have another carrier? Like, how are we going to work this? I don't want them to be cramped in one.
yeah. And he goes, he go, and she's like, he's like, my place is huge. And, but if you don't want to come to my place, like, we could stay here. It'd be a little bit of a tight fit, but, like, we could totally make it work. And she's fucking confused. And obviously, and he tells her that since she let him in her bed, it had been his goal to stay there, and says that they're going to be together. And she already used her up her wish to get rid of him, but the magic's, his again, and it's stronger. And also, the commute to Boston is only like a half an hour, and she is never getting rid of him ever again. And that she's never seen anything until she's seen a leprechaun in love. And then they kiss. And then the love part hits her in the brain. And she's just not even gonna question it because, whatever. And then boom, the book is over. And there you go. They got lucky.
Yeah, they did.
So who is your favorite character?
Maddie, probably.
Did like her a lot. I'll
Yeah.
agree. Who was your least favorite? Not that there's really too much.
No, there's not that many characters. I'm gonna say Killian's dad.
Yeah.
Kind of left him in the dark a lot. Even
Yeah.
when he was like calling him for help.
Yeah.
Not cool, bro.
Not cool,
Because
bro.
he thought it was funny.
Yeah. Well, he is a leprechaun, so they are tricky
Yeah.
little motherfuckers. So Amazon gives us a 4.2 and Goodreads gives us a 4.0. What
What
are
did you rate it?
a 3.5?
I rated it 3 stars. It was okay. It
It was a novella.
was a novella. Needed some things for me to bump it up, but it was fine.
Awesome sauce. How about your
What about your
cucumber?
cute?
Bitch, I swear to God.
That's probably the only one I hadn't really thought out. Do you have one ready?
I was gonna go like a 4 or 5, but there wasn't a whole ton in it. And we got
I'm trying to remember what I had for scenes.
the one little bit, and then the rest of it was like, oh, we banged.
Yeah, so it wasn't
So it was
really.
really kind of just like one.
I'm gonna say a two.
Okay.
I know that's.
Sounds
I think
fair.
that's why I needed a second because I was like, wait a second, I'm trying to remember what there was because I didn't write it down this time.
Okay. So yeah, that ends March, baby. March Madness has officially ended,
Is that
mostly.
the last episode of March
No,
too?
it's not.
Oh yeah, no.
This is our last special,
Last special of March, yes. So
but we
make
have.
sure that you check out our episode of Shallow River that will end out March Madness.
Yeah, sounds
But
great.
make sure to read along with us for our April specials. We have some interesting ones in store. And either way, make sure to keep reading.
And keep it smutty.